everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Michael Evans.
You were supposed to say Jessica
and
Wellington.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
Welcome to the Liars Club. What we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth and one is a lie. And then we will ask questions. Don't get nervous when we kind of ask questions about the story, just to understand. Also to punch a hole in the story, to kind of figure out which one is the lie. And for you guys playing along with us on YouTube, you can ask questions too. Austin, our on-air producer, will relay those. And then we're going to just have a great time. So let's start it. Would you please introduce our guests, Austin?
You know what? I would love to. To my right is Sean Patton, host of the Five Words podcast on all things comedy. He's representing the good old USA, performing at Edinburgh Fringe Fest. And he's co-headlining this very belly room this Wednesday with Steve Renazzisi. It's Mr. Sean Patton.
Nice.
Thank you. That is a
welcome.
Beautiful.
To the show, Sean.
I want all intros done from now on by a man with a Floridian accent.
You call me and we can work out a price.
That sounds nice.
From a gator. Gators give good props.
And thank you for having me, Felicia.
You're very welcome. And congratulations on getting into Edinburgh. That's always on almost all comedians' bucket list, is to do the Edinburgh Festival. Congratulations.
Everyone should do it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Everyone should do it.
Yeah.
You can just do it.
Yeah.
You just go live in Scotland for a month and walk among cobblestone streets and drink whiskey out of tiny glasses, and then you're like, it's not whiskey, it's scotch, and you have that debate.
There you go.
And then people are like, Harry Potter, and you're like, no, don't say that, but then everyone there is like, yes, Harry Potter. So it's a fun place. And Scott, and also you spend a lot of time deciphering what people are saying. It's beautiful.
Wonderful, wonderful. Will you introduce our second guest?
Felicia, you know me as a full-blown Florida Gator. I think it's no surprise. And across from me is Nathan Hurd, another Florida Gator from Jacksonville, Florida. You know him from American Horror Story. Very menacing on there. He burned a witch alive, much like probably many of my ancestors have done. And he also played the monk, a very, I think, villainous character who I got to witness personally because I worked background on those same episodes of Legion, and he's the host of the Back by Sunset podcast with Zane Hellberg. It's Mr. Nathan Hurd.
Welcome to the show. Yay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yay. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Go Gators.
Okay, there you go. So Michael is guest hosting for Jessica today because Jessica is coming home, probably driving right now from Northern California. She's been on the road, and we're happy that she's doing a shit ton of work, and congratulations to her. You were also on the road with her earlier.
It's a good time.
It was a good time. That's what I heard. So let's just jump into the game. Like I said, if you're playing along, please leave any replies on the YouTube page, and we'll Austin will read them. And why don't we start with Nathan?
All right. You just want me to tell one of the stories?
You tell one of the stories. Don't tell us which one it is, and we're going to rotate it around.
Okay. So when I was 21 or 22, I lived in Washington State, and they have, like, you know, people drink in the woods. So we would go out to the woods a lot and get fucking hammered and have a bonfire and do all that fun stuff. And I remember one night we were drinking out in the woods, and I was drinking vodka, and vodka's just too easy to drink, so I was just like slamming the fifth, you know, going in on it, and had to take shit. So I, you know,
okay, all right, there we go.
There it is. I had to take a dump. So I go away from the camp because I wanted to make sure that I was far enough away that if another drunk person saw me squatting, they wouldn't come like push me over, do some fuck shit like that, and. So I found a stream, and as I'm walking to the stream, there I see that the fire got bigger, and I turn around, and the fire's obviously gotten bigger, and everybody's laughing. So I assume that somebody just like threw alcohol on the fire or threw like something on a tent or something. The fire got fucking bigger. Anyway, I finally get to the stream, and I kind of go down the embankment, and as I'm like trying to level myself over the stream that I've found to Duke, I see, like...
Oh, you're going to go right into the street?
I'm just going to go right into the street.
It's not a bad move.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Really?
Like,
sure.
I mean,
really?
I was worried about... He said far enough away to where nobody would see him and maybe push him over. I was concerned about... I mean, like human shit out of water.
Yeah, dude. Floating.
I was thinking, like, even if you're not 100 yards away minimum, you're going to catch some...
Yeah, I feel like a bear. You know what I mean? Like, might come looking for that Duke. But put it in the water and let it float down. You got to hide your scent.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I'm about to go, and I see... at the where the campfire is that lights are like it looks like Christmas tree lights,
uh-huh.
like a bunch of different colors. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then I hear, okay, guys, line up. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's the cops.
Uh-huh.
Like, they must have saw the big-ass fireball.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, well, I'm frightened because I'm in the woods. I know there's cops, but I still have to shit. And I'm about to shit. So I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to shit. They don't know I'm here. I pull down my pants, and I squat over the stream, and I start to shit. But I hear, hey, you in the woods, come out right now. I'm like, these motherfuckers told them that I was in the woods. And I was like, oh, shit. Well, they're like, then I hear, come out or we're going to release the dog.
Whoa.
And I'm like, please don't fucking release the dog. And I'm shitting. But I'm like, now I'm power duking. Like, I'm trying to push as much out as possible.
Power duking.
Yeah, do it as fast as possible. Because I'm fucking shitting in the woods and they have a dog. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know what's going to happen. So
now, is that that's how you relocated to Florida, right? Was it power duking?
Power duking, yeah. It was, you know what? It was seventh grade. It was the day. I didn't know I was lactose intolerant, and I found out I was a kid that carried a thermos. Anyway, power duked all over myself. And it was just a terrible afternoon. My mom took me out of that school, and we moved to Washington. So now I'm in Washington doing the same thing I did in Florida, power duking. And I'm like, fuck. So I hear the cops coming towards me.
Did you think of going, I'm shitting over here. I'm just taking a shit.
I was like, I'm shitting. I'm duking. That's why they're like, come out or we're going to release the dog. And I'm like, please, Jesus Christ, do not fucking release the dog. I can't. I'm in the middle of shitting. And I'm like, I'm panicked because I don't know what.
And your body just didn't cut off. Your body just didn't. It like was, your colon was, just wasn't nope. It was, that up.
It was one of those dukes that it's not all like it's not all diarrhea, but like you know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, like it's like a half and half. Like
there's chunk of soup.
Yeah, like a stream of water and then a chunk and then a stream of water and then a chunk.
I like to call that the combo.
Yeah. That's
the
number three.
That's like the number five or six. Just getting everything in one, and it sounds like a machine gun. And so I'm powering. And I'm done. And I see the cops coming through the forest, and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, I'm shitting, I'm done. And I'm pulling up my pants, and I just freeze. And the cops like, come out, because he's on the embankment, and I'm a little like 2 feet down under the embankment.
How far were you from the water?
I was over the water, like I was shitting in the water. That's why I went down the embankment. Uh-huh. I was over the water, shitting in the water,
like foot on each side, narrow stream.
No. Like the stream was like here, and I'm shitting with my butt hanging over the edge of the
Now, afterwards, did you splash water up and clean yourself?
Well, see, here's the problem. I just pulled my pants up because, like I said, power duke. I didn't, you know, I wasn't trying to look for things to wipe. I just wanted to get my pants up around a dog. You know,
by the way,
I mean?
You've broken the record for saying power duke the most times on a podcast here at the Comedy Store.
Well, he's sponsored by Power Duke Powder.
Hey, yeah. Look,
if Charmin would like to meet a sponsor, then I have no problems with that.
Okay.
But so when I pulled my pants up, I realized that I had not had my ass far enough away from my pants, and I had just shit in my pants.
Like, oh my god!
You had a castaway.
Like,
have to cast
that's
those pants away.
If it were, you can flush your underwear down the toilet. Let's just say I've. Coming from a place of experience when I say that.
You can flush them down the
toilet. Underwear will go down the toilet pretty easy. I don't know about whole pants, though.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you were in the woods.
I was in the woods. And, like, and the problem was, like, when I pulled them up, I pulled them up, and all the crap just, like, went all over.
Oh, that's cold, cold crap.
It was cold, and I was like, and the realization of what had just happened was, like, I've never done this before. I have no reference on what I'm supposed to do. Now, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because the cop's looking at me. He has a dog. The dog is barking, and I'm 2 feet down in an embankment. He's like, come up here. And I was like, I shit all over myself. And he was like, what? And I was like, I shit in my pants and then pull my pants up. What should I do? And he's like, well, you still come. Like, he's like, I don't, that seems like a personal problem. You need to still come with me. So I get up and I'm walking back and I'm fucking just miserable. And I'm walking back and we get back to the thing and everybody's lined up near the cop car and he's checking everybody's ID. Everybody's over 21, so it's cool. And he's like, look, we stopped because we saw a fucking fireball. and we wanted to make sure that you guys were all of age and, you know, to keep the fire to a minimum. And everybody's like, cool, cool, cool. So we're going to let you go with a warning. And by the way, this guy, shit, in his pants, pulled his pants up.
Thanks.
He is covered in shit now, just to let you guys know. Have a great night. And fucking just left. And so I had to, all of my clothes were shitty. And for the rest of the night, they were just making so many shit go, I guess an albino does shit in the woods. You know, just the fucking, the jokes that were being thrown at me were ridiculous. And I spent the rest of it, like, completely naked. And I just had a towel. I just put a towel around me, and that was how I went.
Someone happened to have a towel out in the woods?
Well, we had a towel. We were camping.
Oh, you were camping.
Yeah, we were camping.
Oh, but I didn't realize you were camping.
Yeah, we were camping in the woods, but we didn't bring, like, we were just going to drink and then get up in the morning and go back home.
Oh, I thought it was just a kegger where everyone was leaving.
No. We were camping out, so
I didn't
bring...
Can I ask you a question since you brought it up? You said that you're an albino.
Yeah.
And and you said earlier you had poor vision.
Yeah.
So how did you walk down the embankment?
Well, I have... Actually, albinos actually have... all albinos are legally blind.
Uh-huh.
They also have pretty good night vision.
We're allergic to the
sun. Right. Well, you know, our eyes kind of work like night vision goggles. Like, it's
nature robbed you of the darkness, but you can see in it. You know, that's the trade off, right there.
That
was so official the way you said it.
Hey, wait, what was the plan? Had the cops not shown? What were you gonna? Were you gonna grab some foliage?
I was just gonna grab some fucking foliage, dude. Yeah. I was just going to, you know, grab some leaves and, you know, when you're 21 and fucking drunk, dude, you don't care.
Yeah, you know, I actually grew up in Washington State. Everything about this bonfire setting, this drinking in the woods, totally, this all checks out.
That's a fucking great album title, by the way, Grabbing Foliage.
Grabbing Foliage, yeah.
That would be a phenomenal album cover.
Man, it would have been way better if they'd just come and pushed you over like you worried about rather than
I
cops
was just
showing.
Like, all I... It would no. Well, I just was so glad he didn't release the dog.
Do you think that it was the cops showing up that freaked you out? You hurried, maybe you aimed wrong. Yeah. You didn't know where you were at. Do you think you would have shit in your pants had they not scared you?
No, it was the dog. It was the fact that they threatened with the dog before I saw it. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
Here's my only story.
The scent of the albino poop might have thrown off the dog, though.
Perhaps. We don't know what that smells like. We don't even know what color it is.
And the cops didn't even make the wish, because isn't that the thing? If you catch an albino poop in the woods, you make a wish.
You gotta rub his belly.
They didn't even do any of that. Yeah,
that's how I grew a beard.
To be fair, they weren't like cops. They were rangers.
Exactly.
Okay, then that makes my next question more important, I think.
So the range... I'm sorry, Michael. So now they're cops and now they're rangers, and rangers have a dog. Rangers
have
walk around with dogs, with cop dogs.
Wasn't asking questions.
I've been this kid in the woods in Washington State. When the cops show up, they never just brought the dogs straight up, just right away.
I mean, we're not making a judgment about your story now, but I'm very suspect over your story.
I gotta say, I've also been the kid, excuse me, camping in the woods, and I can say on multiple occasions they just send the dogs out first.
Like, yeah, I've been that.
You just hear the barking and you see the animal before the flashlights come.
Usually, I've been chased by the cop dog before, and usually what happens?
Oh, that
is,
sucks.
Yeah, they say we're releasing the dog, and then they just release the dog. Luckily, when I was running from the cops at the point when I was being chased by the dog, I stopped and the other guy didn't. And so the dog went right past me and fucking kept chasing him.
Well, that I believe.
I believe you were a degenerate. But
No, I'm just saying, because I grew up in Colorado, and we used to do keggers and go camping and all that. And so even if you're kind of drunk, if you know you have a massive, you know, something up on deck, you're going to take something to wipe your butt with. Especially if it's dark, especially if your vision all that great. My dad was legally blind. I'll give you the albino can see better in the dark thing. I'll give you that. But I find this story very suspect. I'm not making a judgment on that. If anybody has any questions.
Here's the thing.
Wait, how old were you again?
Like 21, 22. When you're
still too young to admit that you poop. So I...
I didn't tell.
You just had to escape. Just get out.
Yeah,
like,
you know what I mean. Like, I wasn't telling people, hey guys, I'm gonna go poop in the woods.
Yeah.
I'll be back in a second. Please don't come push me. You know what I mean? Like,
that was the biggest fear going into this.
I think you would have searched for something to wipe your bum with, though.
After drink, I was drunk. I used to drink a lot. I used to start out my nights drinking at the bar with two double shots of 151 apiece lit on fire.
Jesus Christ! You sure the albino is why you're legally blind? shirt's not all that fucking 151 you used to start your night with?
Yeah, dude, I was getting, I didn't know, I hated drinking, but I was good at it, and I didn't realize how much I was drinking until I realized that the people that I was drinking with were alcoholics.
Yeah. Drinking with fucking tugboat captains.
I was drinking with a guy. I was drinking with a guy named Bobby, and he eventually was drinking so much. He was diabetic, and he ended up losing his feet, still wouldn't stop drinking.
Jesus.
It was Bobby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's got a drunk Bobby.
Everybody's got a drunk
Bobby.
Wait,
Felicia, Felicia, what part of Colorado did you grow up in?
I grew up in outside Colorado Springs.
Oh, good. Yeah. They got some good butt wiping foliage out there.
Yeah, I don't think so. Do we have any questions?
Oh, we have some questions.
Yes. All right, let's go. It goes.
So, first of all, Melody Martinez wanted to welcome the welfare version of Bill Burr, but I don't know which one.
Which
who
one?
In
yeah,
this
that
room
could
looks
be
like
literally
Bill Burr. So, welcome to all of us.
That's ridiculous. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Why welfare? What's wrong with that?
Welcome to Leah and to Jessica, who's playing
from the road. Nice,
so
nice.
Glad to have her. And she said that when it hits. And when you got to go, you got to go. So
ambushed.
She could definitely buy that. But she said that Nathan should never be alone in the woods by himself because that's how every scary movie starts.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen a scary movie that started with an albino in the woods. But
to be fair, I was with a large amount of white people.
Yeah, the universe still knows he's black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The universe still,
the universe still knew which one to separate from that group. Right.
Yeah. Even in Washington.
Even in Washington. Even,
Jesus.
Mama Shar said, ew, of course. And Ken Lofgren's chiming in asking what state, and everybody reminded him it was in Washington. And also, Ken Lofgren, you guys met Ken Lofgren.
Yeah, he's in Washington right now.
This was actually in Olympia, Washington at Evergreen Forest.
And where were they? Where was he in?
He's in Tacoma.
Tacoma. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know, what, like I don't know my Washington geography, but.
Like wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're gonna move on, but I'm very suspect over that story. Yeah. But good first story. It got the juices going. And Poopies. And you, young man, what's your first story?
Oh, let's go.
Oh, it was me?
Yes.
Okay. Similar.
really?
I grew up in a suburb of New Orleans called Slidell, Louisiana.
Oh, I used to live there.
You did?
Yeah.
You used to live in fucking Slidell, Louisiana?
Yeah, I lived in Abita Springs and Slidell and LaPlace.
Wow. Well, are we related?
We could be.
We might be related. Slidell's like the Staten Island of New Orleans. Like, it's not so much white trash, but then there's some white recyclables. That's what I like to call myself. So that's where I grew up. A friend of mine owned a cabin in Purvis, Mississippi, which is roughly, I don't know, an hour and a half north. And we would go there from time to time as a group of friends just to get wax dog shit faced in the cabin. We weren't out in the woods. If any of us had to shit, there were three toilets in the place. So, but you know, we go out there once. This was in 1999. We go, there's like 10 of us. We have a bunch of weed. We stop at there's one grocery store in Purvis, Mississippi at the time, 20 years ago, where it was like a 7-Eleven / Walmart / automotive dealership with a like diner and bar connected, just like one establishment, right? We drop everybody back off at the house because that's Purvis, you know? And then me and my buddy, we go to buy the beer because we're the two who are 21, right? And we buy a bunch of Hams. Do you know that beer?
Yeah.
Hams in a can, right? Which at the time was $5 for a case cold or $2 for a warm case.
Whoa.
Wow.
Right. So we just
You buy one of each and that.
We were saving money. We just bought a shitload of $2 cases of warm Hams and some ice. And we load it in the back of his, like, Jeep Cherokee. And as we're driving away, we're driving down the street, we get stuck. And it was like, it had rained. It was that shitty Mississippi, just mud puddle nonsense. We get stuck in that.
Like, on your way out of the driveway?
Good way to describe this. We had to cross a main road onto a smaller road, which was kind of not that far from where the camp was, but definitely just a smaller, shittier road.
See.
Right. So we get stuck in the mud, and we're like, fuck, and we're getting out, and he's peeling out, and I'm trying to derail him. We're both, neither one of us are very rustic people.
Mm-hmm.
But then we see, like, three fucking guys outside of the bar hollering, like, hey, wait, what, like, kind of from where they are, it's inaudible. But it's like, buddy, what's your thing? Whoa, get him out there, no, fuck that, woo! And then one of them gets in and hauls ass over in his fucking big-ass F-150 with the winch. Because someone stuck in the mud got to show this fucking winch fucker off, man.
Right.
And you can tell the moment he pulls up and sees it's like two 21-year-old dudes, so disappointed that it wasn't the two women of his dreams that he clearly had fantasized about pulling out of the mud and having a threesome with. Anyway, so he's, you know, all right, you know, hooked up. Yeah.
Whatever you need to believe. Sure. Right.
Back, exactly.
I think he was happy with 21-year-olds, no matter who they were.
Yeah. Well, that's true, yeah.
Plus, hey, anyone with a winch is just looking for an opportunity to use it.
Very
the same,
true.
Same way
very
as, like,
true.
A buff guy
fair
is
enough.
Looking for any shirt-off occasion yeah. he
yes,
can have.
Fair
like,
enough.
Someone's stuck, I got to use it.
You want me to lift something?
Yeah.
You want me to lift something in the upward direction over my shoulders? I got that.
Got that new 45 there, you know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be that skeptical for a pervert to live in Purvis, Mississippi, probably.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And I guess for a pervert, if you put on the pervert logic, it's like, man, 21, if it's young enough, it don't matter the genitalia.
Yeah, that's
right.
You know? But anyway, he fucking hooks us up and he's pulling us out and he's like, what, you know, he's asking us some questions. And basically, I'm a dumbass. We had a camera with us, not in the, it was back at the cabin. Our plan was we were going to document the night. The movie, The Blair Witch Project, had just come out.
Okay.
Right? So the whole reason we were going up to the camp was to get shit-faced and make the Purvis Witch Project on just a stupid fucking HD cam, right? Not HD. What were those?
Super 8 or?
No, like the little mini VHS, not the VHS.
Mini SD.
VHS-C.
Remember
those? Yeah, shot them
with that. The mini SD?
Yeah. Or maybe that was it.
Another thing.
But we had that. So the guy's like, what are y'all doing? You know, he's asking us where we're staying. And my friend describes the camp. He's like, oh, yeah, the tree frog. And we were like, what? He's like, that's what that man, the guy who lived there, I guess, before your parents brought it. He called that place the tree frog. Died in there, man. It's crazy. You know, we're like, oh, shit, okay. And he's like, what are y'all doing here? And I'm, like I said, a dumbass. So I'm like, oh, we're filmmakers. You're right. And he's like, filmmakers. I'm like, yeah, you know, we're writing a movie right now. And my friend's just looking at me like, what the fuck are you saying? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just, the moment struck me. I'm like, yeah, we're gonna write a movie and, you know, we wanna shoot it here in Purvis. It's just beautiful country. He's like, okay, filmmakers. That's fucking crazy. I ain't never met a filmmaker. Well, nice to meet you. Y'all are out. Bye, you know? Unhicks the winch. We go back. The partying proceeds. We're drinking half-warm fucking cases of Schlitz. Hams. We're smoking weed. We're just getting wasted. Now, it was a camp that was on stilts. You know what I'm saying? So the camp's about, underneath the camp was like a 10-foot just under.
I know what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Like the patio, basically. There was a hammock down there. There was a ping pong table. We're just fucking around being kids, right? And then suddenly, four sets of headlights.
Right. Because you told them this is the sky where you're going to be.
Well, yeah. Four sets of headlights come just kind of like, so I'm trying to paint the picture perfectly, but there's like a little hedge, but where they pull up, you can see the headlights blaring through right into where we are, this area underneath the camp. And we're all just like, what the fuck is that? What? Oh, shit. And it's been a few hours now. It's been maybe 4 or 5 hours. It's midnight, 1 in the morning-ish, where it's like, all right, this is, what is this? And then you just hear like, all these doors opening and shutting, and a lot of scurrying, and a lot of unidentified shackling, slamming, whoa. Opening. It's real, like, oh, what the fuck is
four
that?
Four headlights or four sets?
Four sets of headlights.
So four cars.
Four automobiles,
that's
right?
That's a lot of rigs to pull up.
So then, we're making enough noise to, whoever's back there clearly knows we're down there. And they can also see us. We're fucking illuminated by the headlights through this hedge. And we hear one guy goes, hey, filmmakers! And everyone's like, what the fuck? And my friend, like, points at me, and I'm just like, yeah. And he goes, fire up them cameras! And then a second later, a wall of raccoons. It's the best way to describe it. A wall of raccoons just come over this hedge, and everybody's just like, what in the fuck? And then followed immediately by four hounds, right? Four. So, and all these hounds come back over, like, what the shit? And these... You know, the raccoons kind of run into the woods and or running all around this under the house area. The hounds are fucking barking, going after them, hunting them down. And then come all these goddamn rednecks following them, right? Well, six of them anyway. One of them's a guy. He's like, man, I figured y'all want something to film. We got something for you here, man. This shit's going to get crazy.
Did you film any of it?
No. Because we were terrified.
It's like the Louisiana neighborhood watch. They like sick the forest on you.
Well, then basically within, it felt like hours and seconds at the exact same time, all of the dogs come back. Only one of them actually has a raccoon, right? only one of them actually has one, you know, sort of in its jaw.
Aww.
Right? And it's just sort of like fighting it. And he's like, oh, he's got one. Bouncer. Hey, bouncer. Wait, watch this. Bouncer. Get him. And he does like that. He goes, get him. And the dog, like, it's graphic, but like squares up and just breaks its neck. Like just crack, kills the fucking thing. Now it's just a dead raccoon.
Whoa.
And it puts it down. And we're all just like, yeah, thank you for that image. But then it's not actually dead. You're like, let's go to the thing. And it's still kind of twitching. And the dude just goes, oh, fuck, man. Hey, grab my wand for me. Says it to one of the other rednecks. Wand being a .22, a rifle. Comes back with that. And he's like, I got to get this done, man. I'm sorry. Y'all ain't got to watch. But gap, just pops this thing. Just puts one in it right under the house. All of this takes place under the house. He asks, hey, if y'all want us to come back tomorrow night or something, we'll bring another round. Because he noticed there was no filming happening, right?
Yeah.
And then it was like, yeah, thank you guys very much for coming. And we were terrified that they were going to hang out because we had like, you know, three girls with us. But they didn't. They just showed us that shit and then skedaddled.
So it was all good.
Ruined the night.
But it was all in good nature, though. They didn't show up maliciously. They were like, what's up? We'll bring the hurricane through.
They just wanted us to watch an animal die, or more than one. That was the other thing. They were very disappointed that we only got one.
Oh, see, now when you started the story, I didn't know there were girls with you. I thought it was just you and this other fellow.
Oh, no, there was 10 of us.
There were 10 of you.
10 of us, yeah. I thought I said that.
You did.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
There were okay. Like we dropped people. Yeah, there was like 10 of us with it. Yeah, it was a
crew. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Question from online. What year was it?
1999. Purvis, Mississippi.
Wow. And you were 21?
21.
I love rednecks.
Yeah.
Wow. God, I'm confident in the detail. If this is not, if this is untrue, I'm going
to
be like, wait.
Well, it has to be someone else's story if it's not his story.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's one of those. This did happen, but they actually killed four raccoons in front of us.
How many
night.
Dogs were there?
Four. I want to say four. There might have been actually. That will be the part. I'm like, it was a flurry of fur. The best way I can remember it. So there might have been more dogs, but I remember specifically seeing four, and they were all hound breeds.
So when the raccoons came at you at like a wall. Wall of raccoons. Yeah. How many raccoons constitute a wall?
I want to say 16.
Oh, yeah.
16?
It was definitely in the teens. It was a lot.
How did that happen? How did they get?
That, I have no clue.
They kind of wrangled these raccoons.
I'm assuming because we didn't. They never, because we left the next day. We're like, we're not going to hang out. This is weird. We were going to stay for two nights. We only stayed for one. I'm assuming it sounded like they had cages and shit in their trucks. Mm. I don't know because we never left that area. This all probably took about 15 minutes total.
So you think they already had cages in the truck with raccoons?
I think they went and caught the raccoons already, brought them to this area. Somehow, I'm speculating here, took the cages because there was a lot of racket.
Uh-huh.
And just aimed the door, like had the dogs. I aimed the gate of the things and opened them, and they just all ran.
So what happened after? Did you guys stick around for the second night?
Fuck no.
Yeah.
No. We hung out that night. We filmed each other's reactions afterwards. Like, we interviewed each other. But everyone was, it was bad. Like, it was, people were fucked up by that, by, like, seeing that.
What a strange
way. I'm sure the girls
were
like, get us the fuck out of here right
and
now.
And we just got super wasted, pounded all that hams. Smoked all our swag, and then the next morning got the fuck out of there. And I've never been back to the tree frog since then.
Do we have any questions online?
Yeah. Some questions, some concerns. Ken Lofgren was the one who asked what year it was. And
Was he there?
he just commented and said 1999 was right after Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
That does check out. And Jessica commented and said that was the right gun sound effect. So she's pretty sure that was a fact.
The wand.
I'll never forget that.
The wand. Weird.
But Melody Martinez thinks that possibly this could be a stolen story from a younger Conan O'Brien who once told a story about four raccoons or something. I'm not familiar, but.
Wow.
Don't know it.
Wow. Interesting.
What a strange way for those adults to spend their free time wrangling coons, dropping in on a party.
How old were those guys, do you think?
I guess, but coon wrangling? 25,
if I'm guessing. Mid-20. Yeah. They were not old. They were definitely not old. Uh-oh. And there was only one of them who spoke to us. That was another thing I remember. It was very interesting. Only one of them actually communicated with us. The rest of them just kind of talked to each other. And he was like the liaison between.
Because
I remember at one point, one of the guys wanted to take a piss. And we had to let him upstairs for some reason. He, you know, we'll bring live raccoons to be killed in front of you, but didn't want to pee. Didn't want to be rude, just pee in the yard.
Right, right.
But he was like, hey, can my buddy go up and take a piss? And we were like, sure. He's like, yeah, man, go ahead. It was like that kind of thing.
That's an interesting story, because, like, where do you find the lies in that?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, it could be that he was one of the rednecks with the raccoons that went and crashed somebody's
That could very see. That could very, yes.
I saw the trauma it caused. Took some speech classes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah, we saw these pussies buying warm hams. Yeah. We got them.
You don't, sound like you could be from Slidell.
Oh, he sounds just like everybody from Slidell.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really?
And I mean, they kind of sound like the Bronx and like Southern Louisiana. Like, it's really not quite a thing.
Yeah. If I get I called my dad yesterday on Father's Day, but of course ended up talking to my mom for twice as long because I have a Southern mother. And yeah, like my R's drop, my tongue flattens out, the accent just comes back full force, dude. You know?
Oh, mine too. Yeah. I took elocution lessons when I moved from Florida to Washington because people couldn't understand what the fuck I was saying. Mm. and it still comes back occasionally, like on stage it comes back sometimes.
Hell yeah.
I try not to, but.
Hell yeah, it does.
How old are you, Sean? Ask Ken Lofgren.
40.
He's 40, Ken.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, two very good stories, and let's move it on. Unless anybody has any questions, let's.
I want to punch some holes, but those details are so.
I know his
and
details
clear.
Are like I had a lot of doubt about your story, you know, and because the riverbank and all that kind of stuff.
Do you know who Jerry Clower is?
Oh my God, you and the fucking Jerry Clower thing.
Well, his biggest thing is a coon hunting story in Mississippi.
Right,
so that's why
Jerry Clower was a comedian from like the 70s that Austin one time heard a record for, and he's like, Jerry Clower.
I love Jerry Clower. Sorry. Okay. Eat me. I don't know.
I would if I could find it. Anyway, so your turn. Second story.
Okay. So I was 11 or 12, and I was in South Carolina at a track tournament at a military base. I don't remember which military base, but it was with my school, Florida School for Deaf and Blind, FSDB, and we were doing one of the events. Like, when I mean track meet, it was all of the events. We actually had swimming events, and this school is it's in Florida. It's Florida School for Deaf and Blind, so half the population of the school is deaf and half is blind. But it's like 7,000 kids.
There's, Charles School, right?
Ray Charles School, yeah. Ray Charles.
That is fucking huge.
Yeah, like it's a campus.
7,000.
Yeah, it's
big.
It's an actual campus. It's a boarding. You know, what I mean, like it's boarding anybody with a visual impairment, audible impairment, or some developmental impairment.
And how long did you go to this school?
From it's K through 12, but I went there from second grade till I believe seventh grade.
Did you learn how to read Braille?
No, I wasn't blind enough to read. Yeah. I learned sign language though. They required us to learn sign language because, again, half of the school was deaf. So, but so we were at, and the track team was actually really, really, really good. Our football team was really good. Our swim team was really good. Our wrestling team. They didn't teach us anything about like, oh, you're blind, so you should probably people will feel. No, they were like, you fucking do it. Don't be a little bitch. Fucking do. You know what I mean? Like there was no. Right. They didn't want to teach us sympathy to feel sorry for ourselves. So we would. Other schools stopped wanting to go against our track team because we would beat them, and then we got beat by a bunch of fucking blind kids.
Right.
That would be an interesting go-ahead. Yeah. How did he know where the hurdles were?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So so we were at this.
Did you guys do like the baton exchange and that kind
of? Some of them. I mean, like, not everybody was totally blind. Like, and with like sprinters, they have guide runners, which is basically a person who they have a tether and the person next to them runs alongside them. And is just running alongside them. They're not pulling them. So the idea is that they have to be faster than the person that they're running with so they can, because they can't pull the person.
Right.
So we had to have people who were training for the Olympics to run with some of our kids, with some of the kids. Yeah, the kids were fucking fast. So we traveled with this track team. We traveled everywhere. We went to the South. They went to Germany. They went to France. I wasn't old enough to go when they went. My brother was. But we went to this track meet in South Carolina at this military.
Was your brother also in the school?
Yeah. Yeah. He's also a black albino, but not like me. He's not my real blood. He was adopted by my mom also. Because he was my best friend. His family situation wasn't great. He was just, and so my mom, he became my best friend and then kind of became my brother. So he was there. But at this track meet, we were staying at a military base in South Carolina, and we were one of the events was going, the mile was going on, and I was just kind of chill. I don't do the mile, so I was chilling out underneath the bleachers.
What were your events?
The 100, 200 long jump in track. Yes, sir. Yeah, and I was good, too.
Wow.
It was good.
The look on everybody's face. I got to see that happen.
Prove it.
I went to the Junior Olympics. I went, yeah, like I was actually fucking good. I won the Junior Olympics. I went to the Pan Am Games. I was pretty dope.
Wow.
Yeah.
How often was there like a scratch, you know? Like, has your vision deteriorated since?
No.
So, so was it, is like, was there an issue with it being difficult for them to see where to jump from or stepping over that line?
Well, a lot of, if in the swimming events, when we had totally blind swimmers, there's a dude at the end of the pool with a big, long stick and a tennis ball on the end of that stick. And when it's time for him to do his flip turn, he bops him on the head.
Wow.
And then with guide runners, I told you about that. And then with the jump, they just time their steps. They just know how many steps to get, or there'll
yeah,
be
that's probably a bad right. question. Or, your sense or, of yeah,
or there'll be somebody there to scream like tap, and that's when the it's tap is when he needs the you know tap is like, and then there's two more steps, and then he jumps. Hmm. So there's different ways that you figure it out. You
right, know what I mean? Right, right.
And not everybody's totally blind. Like, some people are just visually impaired. My friend Ricky, who was running the mile at the time in South Carolina, he just had one eye. So he was at that school.
Okay.
But his other eye was fine.
Hmm.
So,
I mean, I have terrible vision.
Well, usually it's people with non-correctable problems.
Right.
Like, my vision is not correctable.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't do shit.
My little sister had stem cell in her vision. She had optic nerve hypoplasia. You familiar with that?
Yeah.
Like, her optic nerves never grown. She got to go do stem cells.
Yeah, that won't work for me.
Yeah, it didn't really work for her that way.
My dad went blind from being exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's not how I got it, but yeah. That sucks. For
so what happened at this track meet?
Oh, so I'm underneath the bleachers, and I'm just, you know, kicking it, waiting for the 100 to come up, and this dude approaches me and he starts talking to me about the KKK, like trying to recruit me, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now? And he's like talking to me, you should come over here, and you know, there's a lot of type, I know people think that we're just about hate, and we're not, we're about love, and he's just talking to me, and these two, and I'm 11, 12 years old.
Wow.
I don't know how to fucking,
whoa.
Yeah, I don't know how to deal with this, and so, and I also think it's funny. Because I'm like, he doesn't know I'm black.
Yeah, even in the fifth grade, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, he didn't know I'm black. So I'm just like, I'm just going to let him keep talking. So these two privates come up to him, and they're like, you can't do that here. Like, you're not allowed. And he's like, this is America. This is a free country. And he's like, yeah, but this is a fucking military base, bro. You can't that here. And he's like, I don't care. This is. And then that goes on for like a minute, minute and a half. And this other older guy, sergeant, walks up, and he just walks up like every sergeant you've seen in the movie, like how they're, son, this is, what is your major malfunction? You know what I mean? Like that
right,
guy,
right, right.
That's him. He just walks up, and he's like, what the good God hell is going on over here? And the privates talk to the guy, and they're like, yo, this is what's happening. And the guy's like, you can't kick me out here. Like, son, this is a military base. Like, he said, everything he said was cool. You know what I mean? Like, this may be a military base. You may be in America, but right now you are in my America. You know what I mean? Like, just the dopest shit that could have been said. This dude is saying it. And he looks at me and he's like, and even if I wasn't, son, you are barking up the absolute wrong goddamn tree. Do you not see the naps in this kid's hair? And he's like, this is a black kid. You haven't been to fucking school. Get the hell out. You know, I'm just tearing this guy a new asshole. And I'm just like, this is the greatest moment of my fucking life. And he never talks to me directly. Like, he never said anything to me directly. He just referenced me. And he was like, now I'm going to give you two choices. One, you can get off my property. Two, you can get off my property in a bag. Choose. And the dude was just like, fuck you guys. And he left.
Whoa.
And then the sergeant just turned around and left. And then the two privates just kind of looked at me, and then they left. And then I just was like, well, that happened. And then I left. It was a very odd situation.
So the guy that approached you was a civilian, or was he was in the military?
No, he wasn't in the military. He was a civilian, I assume, that was just there watching the track meet.
Uh-huh. And was the sergeant that gave him a piece of his mind, was he in a uniform?
Yeah, everybody else was in a uniform.
And were they, do you think they were in uniform and there to watch the game?
I have absolutely no idea. Huh. When we were actually on the base, like, we ate in the cafeteria with military.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I could see him being in. I mean, like, yeah. Last time I did like a military gig, they were all, you know, they're hanging around. If they're there, like, on duty for the day, they're just in uniform. Yeah. Maybe they're just kind of working the venue, so to speak.
Did the guy show you? He didn't like pull out a hood and be like, "You can get you one of these, man."
He didn't have any hood. He had a Confederate flag belt buckle, and he had a lot of pamphlets.
And he's just trying to get this nice white kid to join his club.
Wait, where was this again? Florida? Again?
Nice, no, this is South Carolina.
South Carolina, the Klan, yeah. Man.
Nice, we're Carolina. At South Carolina.
I don't know, at a military base.
Yeah,
I think it's so funny the idea of like a bunch of fucking Ku Klux Klan, like a meeting. You see a bunch of Klansmen walking in, putting their hoods on. And then just one guy walks in with like a Wu-Tang t-shirt and's like, "Oh, a Klan rally."
Wow.
My bad. Yeah. Oh, shit. I screwed that up.
I hate when this happens where we're three stories through and I'm like, fuck, I believe all three so far.
Well,
that does sound like some Carolina shit.
I'm an Army brat. So I've been off and on Army bases all around the world and went to school on an Army base.
Oh, nice.
And so some of that doesn't necessarily ring true.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of people online that think that it's far too obvious for an albino person to be recruited by the Ku Klux Klan. Because, you know, it's kind of a...
I mean, those guys aren't scoring Mensa scores. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Those dudes aren't exactly...
You'd be surprised at the amount of black people that don't know I'm black.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that part I could that part I totally could see happening, but for a sergeant to come over there and for other privates to be there, like that part, that's the part where I'm like, that, you know, that doesn't seem true necessarily, that part. But then I think about your first story about you being legally blind and going down a ravine to take a poop in a stream, and I'm all like, what the fuck is up with these stories is what I'm thinking.
I love the idea that the part that she has a problem with is like, you can't see in the woods. Yeah. Everything else probably happened. But
why would you have the instinct to poop in your water?
Well, because my father was legally blind, and my father, I hate to say this, but my father actually died from falling off of a ravine.
Okay.
Because my dad's legally blind. So that's why I'm all like,
Here's what I will say. I am not legally, albinos are not legally blind. I have a driver's license. Like, I'm not.
You can drive?
Yeah. I'm not legally blind. Like, my vision doesn't work like other people's vision. It's not correctable, but it's not blurry. Like, there's not, you know what I mean? Like, with a normal person, when they have glasses, it's because at a certain level, it gets blurry. And they can't see any, like.
So what is the shift in your vision? What is the difference?
The difference is okay, you know how something looks to you when it's just too far away for you to see it?
Uh-huh.
It's not blurry, it's just too far away for you to see it. That's the exact same thing with me, except that distance is closer. So you see a guy in the crosswalk, and you're like, okay, that guy has blue eyes, a mustache, and a chipped tooth. I see a guy in the crosswalk. I see his eyes, but I couldn't tell you the color. You know what I mean? Like, so it's,
man, that's specific. That man in the crosswalk with his blue eyes and his chipped tooth and t-shirt.
I just like your vision for like weekend.
How close does that point come? Because like we've worked together a little bit, and I noticed things like you use your phone super close. So right here, the phone just looks far away.
Well, no, the thing about it is that I'm also farsighted, so I actually see it better when it's right here. But I can't. But it's too far away for me to see. But I'm farsighted,
right.
So I can't see it here. I have to hold it here and squint. That's what I'm doing.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is actually too close for me to see it. I have to squint, and then it's like it's our vision.
And you have a driver's license.
Yeah, I've never been. Wow. I'm a good driver because I have to be. I'm not turning the radio and putting on. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I can't eat and I can't do that. I actually have to pay attention.
Do we have any questions, Austin?
Yeah, but I think I'm going to save it for for the recap at the end here, because Ken might have brought up a good point.
All right.
Ken, our Washington expert. Now, keep in mind,
this Ken guy.
Ken Lofgren's 0-4 in the game, but this is one he might have kind of a handle on, because it does take place in Washington, and he might have some facts for us on the setting, so we're going
to
hold off.
All right, so let's move on to your second, but two great stories, and if I'm asking questions or being doubtful, just that's part of the game. I don't think you're a bad person or question what you got shaken. No, yeah, like, but it's interesting to see, like, because we just met today, to see how people you don't know tell a story, and then you're like, God, I don't know this person at all, and they both sound so far-fetched.
I've never heard you be apologetic or weary to be like, you're going like, I'm sorry, I'm not calling you a liar, but this feels like bullshit.
No, because my dad had vision problems, right. So like I want to not be a jerk about it.
If I got offended, I'd be dead by now.
Why were you under the bleachers just to get out of the sun? And that's a serious question.
No, actually, that's why I should have been under the bleachers, but I was just under the bleachers because I like going under the bleachers. It's fun.
Okay, freak show. Okay.
Carving your initials, taking another dump, knowing you're seeing your history. Like, I was just nearby.
Right. I had just seen it.
Jesus. Bathroom's too far.
Okay. They all float down here.
But now that you're talking about how your vision is exactly how your vision works, it throws into doubt then the first story to me even more. You know what I mean? But
Jessica said, when you got a shit, you got a shit.
When you got shit.
And also young enough to be embarrassed where he goes, like, he didn't want to come to all the party. Like, hey, everybody, I'm freaking out. I got shit. Does anybody have anything I could? What should I do? He's just like, I'm going to get far away because this is about to happen. And I'm going to try and figure it
also
out.
Also drunk. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't thinking, what's the responsible thing to do?
This is where I'm interested, because not having a motive to go under the bleachers is suspect.
Yes.
Because I think of the bleacher under the bleachers was like fucking Tortuga. You only went down there to get into some debauchery.
I agree. And sometimes good point.
When you're a kid, sometimes that debauchery is just splitting a Pall Mall that you stole from your grandma.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But, that's the fucking greatest explanation. The bleachers are fucking Tortuga. That's fucking
Tortuga down there, brother.
It must be true, though, that in a situation like a track meet, being albino, you did have to find a lot of hiding out spots, so you can just be hanging out in the sun.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's the funny thing is that the school I went to actually had a lot of albinos, because albinos have a vision problem, and since if you're out of state going to this school, it was like $48,000. But if you lived in the state of Florida, it was free. So everybody who had an albino kid or kid with vision problems or audible problems or developmental problems just moved to fucking Florida.
Wait, maybe I'm mixing up.
That makes sense.
Is it? What do you say was an? I'm sorry. I'm just mixing it up. Was it a? It was a military academy specifically for.
We were doing a track meet at a military base. Yeah, that's why I have questions about.
Okay, I had that mixed up in my head, because an albino military base, like, these colors already ran. Ain't gonna run no more.
God damn it.
Is you just exclusively training spies?
That's hilarious.
I need to hear. I'm so curious about his second story.
Yeah, let's go for your second story.
Oh, all right. So, also somewhat similar. Strange how much we have in common in a way. I'm going to paint the picture first. This was in 2013. It happened in New Orleans. There's a bar in the Warehouse District of New Orleans called Lucy's, where upstairs there used to be a lot of comedy shows there, right? And directly catty corner to that bar is a bar called Vic's Kangaroo Cafe. Just a Australian-themed, perfect little shitty dive bar in the Warehouse District of New Orleans. Growing up, I have a cousin. His name is Jay. He's like 9 months older than me. Growing up, we were like best friends, okay? He lived in a different part. He lived like, his parents lived in Lakeview. That's where he grew up, in Lakeview, New Orleans. We would only see each other 3 or 4 times a year as like teenagers, family events and shit. But we were like homies. We got in trouble constantly. We were best fucking friends. We talked on the phone. We were pen pals, because this was pre like social media or anything. Wrote each other letters. We were best friends. In our late teens, we kind of went different ways, right? He became, he got into, he went to the military, He was in the Air Marshal program. He was an Air Marshal for the entirety of the Air Marshal program, right? He did that for a while. In 2013, it wasn't like we reconnected, but I just started seeing more of him. I just hadn't seen a lot of him in, you know, 5 years. And from what we knew then, he had a desk. He said he had a desk job at not the Air Marshal. Oh, the U.S. Marshals. He had a desk job. So he was like getting out more. He was he had a family now, which I knew his family sort of. But, you know, I was also out of the picture a lot being a comedian. I left New Orleans in 2006. I didn't go back as much as I wanted to. He had moved his family to Alabama by this point. So anyway, 2013, it was the summer. It was a perfect storm where he was in town. I was in town in New Orleans. I was doing some shows. He wanted to come hang out. I hadn't hung out with him in a long ass time. It was great. He comes to the show at Lucy's. He has his two younger sisters with him. I have my younger brother with me. Then we go across the street to the bar, to Vic's Kangaroo Cafe, and we're just sinking them back, having a good old jolly fucking time. And we're like, hey, let's go somewhere else. So one of my sisters is in the bathroom. The other one's like closing out her tab. Jay and I are the only ones who like step. We step outside at the same time. Now, I am a short, fat fucking tub of lard. My cousin Jay is like 6'6", sculpted out of marble, right? Like standing next to each other, we're like we're like twins, like Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like he's a sharp, just in shape, tall, masculine dude, and I'm just, right? We step outside, and I'm...
I just feel so bad that we're on like, no, you're not.
You say that, but then if he walked in here and I stood next to him, be like, oh, yeah, you definitely are. Yeah.
I just felt bad that we're all like, yeah, you are. Definitely are, sure.
Yeah, I am.
I wondered when I should console.
No, you don't. I'm 5'9", 220. I deserve it. But
we have a lot in common. Yeah,
right. I'm telling you. Yeah. I wish I could. Maybe I'm an albino.
I feel like cool.
And your military cousin, he was at that base where that track meet.
Jesus
was.
Christ! If I found out I was an albino, you know, I'd never let that go.
No, dude,
that
would be. Would you?
Yeah. But so we step outside, and I remember I was looking down to light a cigarette. At the time, I was still a smoker, and I look up, and there's basically this fucking kid, 20s probably, in the middle of the street getting stomped by three dudes, right? And this is in the warehouse district of New Orleans is not seedy, really, you know? And it's a well-lit, not seedy area. So it was like a shocking, like, this doesn't belong here. Like, this dude's just getting three guys just fucking stomping this dude. There's a car stopped. All the doors are open. And then there's three more guys who are clearly friends of the guy getting stomped, all standing around. Two of them have their shirts off. And they're all going like, stop it. You better fucking stop. I swear to God, fucking stop. You guys, you better back the fuck off. Or you're going to get, but they're not doing shit.
These are dope friends.
Right. Yeah. They're watching their friend get stomped, but they're not doing a goddamn thing about it.
Is it a busy night out there? What time?
It was Wednesday night. I remember
that. So it's like kind of not a busy night outside the bar. Not a lot of people.
Not really.
So and you go outside, there's this lonely, weird little stomp out happening.
And also, it's a wide enough street to where a car just drove by at one point just went around. This was pretty as soon as I saw it. Some car just sped by, slowed down, and then turned the corner and parked. And those people got out. I remember that.
To come watch?
To watch. Yeah.
Jesus.
It was crazy.
Look at this.
It was fucking crazy.
I got a minute. Yeah.
And so my cousin, being the former military guy he was, he's in this thing in seconds to break it up. And I'm like watching all this happen, like, oh shit, do I have to fight too now? Because I can't. And
I'm just a filmmaker. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's funny.
So like I always knew my cousin Jay was a bad dude, right? But this was fucking insane. Like he Jason Bourne this situation. Because all three of these dudes now converge on him and he's just like, you know, elbow, like, bap to the sternum, like, gets one guy in the headlock, punches another guy in the fucking, right in the stomach, knocks the wind out of it, and elbows him in the face, throws the other, like, so fast. It was so fucking impressive to the point where these three dudes were now like, we get the picture, we're out. They all kind of back down, and he just holds court. He's just standing there kind of protecting the dude who's now laying on the ground bleeding and somewhat unconscious while all of his homies are like, yeah, yeah, not having done shit, right?
Yeah.
So these three dudes get in that car that I mentioned that was just kind of parked with its doors open. They get in and they drive off. And everything's like, what the fuck? And right then my two sisters come out and my brother and his sisters. And they're like, what the shit just happened? Right? It was insane. Jay, my cousin, is sort of tending to this dude. Like, is he okay? He's bleeding and somewhat unconscious. I'm talking to him like, are you okay, you fucking Bruce Lee, Jason Statham son of a bitch? Yeah. Are you all right? And then a cop car finally rolls up because someone had I called the cops. And it was this perfect moment of the cop car pulls up, the cops start to get out, and someone goes, there! And we look down the street, and the three guys who had done the stomping simply driven down the block, parked, and were coming back. They were on their way back to finish the job, right? They were on their way back to fight more.
Oh.
Right? Now, nice. We would later learn one of them had a gun on them. We would later learn this. That's why they parked clearly. And
who said there?
What? I still don't know.
They were saying, there's the guy.
Someone was like, oh, there. And we all look. And there they are. They had gotten out of the car and were like, coming back to fucking finish the fight. And
I think we got a master fucking liar on our hands.
Yeah. I mean, go. Do you want me to continue or get a question?
No, I love it. You're going for it.
Keep going. So there's a cop. The cops are like, oh, there. And then that's when you see those three guys go, oh, shit, cops. But then they can't do shit because now there's cops coming down this street. It was like they pinned them in, basically. So it was like, oh, no. Now these guys just scatter. And where we're standing, two of them go running in one direction. One of them basically comes running where I'm and towards us, right? And I'm like, I guess I'll probably stop this guy. I should do something here. But this dude just straight up 1-2 jukes me. Like, easy. Like, just straight up, like, twist, like, does the pop with the shoulders. I fall for it, and I'm on my ass. And
you broke your ankles in the street without a ball?
Standing still. I was standing still. I broke my ankles. I'm on the ground. But I see my cousin, Jay, go sprinting after this dude like a fucking gazelle. It was at that moment where I realized how differently our lives, the paths in our lives had gone. I was like, I couldn't even stand still enough to catch the guy, and he's already after him. But I pop up, and I just chase them. I'm like, that's my cousin. That's my blood. My brother's following me. We finally catch up to Jay, and I remember seeing it from like a block, I don't know, half a block down. He somehow caught the dude and like sweep tackled him. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like came up from beside him and like tripped him and grabbed him at the same time and like got him on the ground and then was fucking holding him down, had his hands, one hand pinned behind his back. He's like, calm the fuck down, calm the fuck down. Right then, another cop car rolls up because have you ever called the cops before?
Yeah. I have never seen that situation. The cops.
If you've ever seen the cops get called, they do that, where it's like one car, mm-hmm. another car, then another car. That's pretty much what happened. There's like eight cars by the end of the night. But now another car rolls up, and one of the cops gets out, and he's going for his fucking taser. He's going for it because he doesn't know the situation. And then I hear my cousin Jay yell, holster your goddamn weapon, and then he throws a badge. Now, I'm not going to say his last name, but he's basically Agent Blank. FBI
so
throws
badass.
A badge,
that is
throws
cool.
a badge, right? And everything's like, what the fuck? And the cop just immediately like, just stuttering, removes his hand from anywhere near his taser. It's like, yeah. Give me your handcuffs. Give me your handcuffs. My cousin cuffs the guy and then gets up, walks away with the cop to brief him, I guess. And I'm standing there like, I need a goddamn briefing. I need a goddamn briefing. So basically like, there's chaos. There's cops talking to all of us who witnessed a thing. They've arrested the three dudes. They've caught all three. This is where we found out one of them had a gun because while the other cops were chasing him, they saw him throw it in the trash can, and they went back to that trash can like, oh, look, a .22. So
a wand.
That's like a pistol, though.
Damn it.
That is scary to think about, the fact that one of them did have a weapon on him.
Yeah, that's fucking wild.
And then my cousin, basically, we finally are – it's us again – just him and I walking away. He's like, walk aside with me. And we're smoking a cigarette. And he fills me in entirely. Basically, he had been an undercover FBI agent for like 3 years now. His wife didn't know. His kids didn't know. No one else knew. And in fact, I swore to him if I ever told this story publicly, because he knew I would at some point, I wouldn't say the actual agency. So it's not the FBI. Uh-huh. But I'm not going to say which one it is. I owe him that much. And end of story.
I fucking want it to be true.
That is how I
have major problems with this story. Because first of all, you said about the sister. You said I had my sister. Oh, I had my brother. He had his two sisters, and then all of a sudden you have two sisters too.
Yeah, we both had two sisters there. I can understand how I fumbled that part up, but I will admit
he mentioned that he had brought his own two sisters also,
and my brother.
No, he said brother. He said that Jay brought his two sisters, and I brought my brother.
Yeah, maybe I imagined only three extra total people.
Yeah,
but the Wednesday night thing.
Let me say also this. My other problem with the stories. I'm so all over you right now.
Please do.
But so you guys ran after those guys that were coming back, and there was already a police car there. Already policemen were there, and you guys were already doing that with what were the police doing? They were just like, all right, go chase those guys.
From what I remember, a bunch of them were tending to the, a bunch of them were like, wait, what's this guy?
Oh, because the guy got his ass kicked real bad. Because
the guy was like stomped out. That dude was fine. I mean, the ambulance came for him eventually, but that dude was like bleeding out in the street. To my recollection, the first two cops that were there were very like, whoa, what's this situation?
I have a hard time believing that New Orleans cops are going to have empathy over someone already laying on the ground before trying to chase someone down.
That is a damn good point. That is a damn good point.
Well, shit. I'm a little befuddled by the agency situation, which if it doesn't matter, if the FBI is just a moniker that you use to cover up the real agency, you did say U.S. Marshal in the beginning.
I did. Also, I mean, not the truth.
So you were just
No, that's what he told us.
Oh, okay.
So that was something he said that wasn't true. That's something everyone thought he did for a living.
And then the thing that's the mind fuck of it all is if I do believe that, then that means the wall of raccoons is a lie.
Yeah.
Because
this is such a cool story
I know.
Well,
any questions?
Ask away, because I'm sure there's some internet people like, this guy's fat. I can't believe anything he said.
No, they won't say that.
I mean, right? It all lined up when you said you couldn't do shit when that dude was running by. Yeah. I mean,
you have been referred to online, and I wasn't going to give credence to this joke because it was killed on the chat here, but welfare Zach Galifianakis has been your moniker online.
And that's the thing. Like,
I
wasn't going to say it, but if we're on the subject, I just figured.
It's so creative. Everyone who thinks I look like Zach Galifianakis, which
I don't think you do.
We're both just pudgy guys with beards. But keep the comments coming like that, because you're always real smart and the first person to ever think of it.
Well, and that comes from...
I'm 100% with you, because people think I'm mini-me.
Oh, okay. Ooh,
that's an interesting one.
And I'm like, dude, he's a motherfucking midget. Full grown. Like, they don't say I look like him. They think that it's me.
They're like, there he is, full grown midget.
I loved your work when you were younger, man. Yeah,
how much HDH do you think I've taken?
Like, and he like died 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Did we figure out which one of us is cut rate Bill Burr?
I think that was also Melody Martinez who was referring to Nathan, but I think before she realized Nathan was black, so hopefully she probably feels like Melody's or something.
She's ridiculous. I can't believe it.
That's fucking brutal.
Too much. It's brutal.
Yeah. Wow. So what are the questions?
A lot of questions, a lot of speculation because of the details. You know, everybody's always talking about
a lot
about
of details. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's interesting when a person who has never been on the show before tells two stories, and your first story didn't have that many details, but your second story had many details. But both your stories had a lot of details. That's why it's kind of tricky.
I've never been this stumped before, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. So what were their questions? Anything else?
Pretty much everybody's making their decisions right now. Jessica's made her decision without even having to hear the recap. She's pretty sold on it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and Melody made her decisions before both of you even started your second story. So she didn't even need
the ball's on Melody, by the way.
She's
really rip-roaring today.
Really going after it.
If she turns out being full of shit, we could say the bowels on Melanie.
There, you got her back.
Power.
Power.
Brett, have you been listening along, Brett?
Hello there, everyone.
Hi.
I, of course, as you know, I always go smoke a joint during the second story.
Do you have the camera on you, by the way?
Do you really need to see me?
Yeah, let everyone see who we're talking to.
Oh, my God.
Jeez Louise.
Come on, you guys.
Come on. You
Hi, everyone.
There he is.
Hey.
Look at him. The rich man's Henry Rollins.
He does look good.
I definitely believe that a wall of raccoons is always on the loose in Louisiana and Mississippi area. So I believe that story to be true.
Really?
How'd they have that kind of control over those coons?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those coons are probably
being chased by dogs. They probably just had the dogs in the cages and let the dogs out to roust the coons out of the swampy lands and toward the and they just herded them toward the cabin of unsuspecting children.
But wall of raccoons, though.
Well, that's see, what I kind of thought happened when we would go hunting in the Ocala National Forest, which you probably know of, Nathan, we would use our dogs to chase deer. Uh-huh. And the deer would, you know, often chase them through, like, somebody else's hunting situation, you know, in another block of town. So I kind of thought maybe they just were running the coons, and the coons happened to run through Tree Frog Camp.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that's what happened.
And raccoons are, you know, they are in packs.
Yeah.
It's very seldom, like, just one raccoon.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. No, they...
Yeah, I mean, if they're one, they're like rabid or something.
I saw a picture online where, like, taken, like, 30 years ago where it was a woman who was camping with other women or whatever, and they heard a bunch of rustling, and she just put her a camera out with a flash and flash it, and there literally was, like... 50 raccoons just like, what?
That helps me believe that part then.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe they're all always lurking in the dark. Even when you see two, maybe there's 30 lurking in the darkness in the woods. And when they got the dogs out, they all move at once.
Yeah. Maybe they weren't even in the truck. Maybe they just let those dogs out and they just knew there'd be raccoons everywhere.
But am I really going to go, I don't know. I think it's because I enjoyed the second story from him. I think I'm like, that would be badass if that was true. But it seems insane for me to pick that his cousin was secretly like maybe a CIA or FBI. You know what I mean? Over this, some weird dudes came through and busted up our country party. That could happen.
Leah confirmed the raccoon picture you saw this morning. She said she also saw it, so that is a fact.
Oh, yeah, she
commented
right?
about it, and then you made the comment.
Yeah, yeah,
a little bit of a delay.
So,
maybe
good.
The coon wall is a, you know.
Yeah. Could I don't know. So why don't we recap the first, let's before we take a vote?
Okay, now before I recap this story, I do have a question for you, Nathan.
Yeah.
Where was the state forest, or what was its name that you were at where this happened?
It was the forest right next to Olympia, Washington.
Mm. Did you say its name when you said that?
It's Capitol Forest.
Because initially he said Evergreen State Forest.
I don't know which one. It's the one that's not near Evergreen State College. It's... In the, I don't know the name of it, but
Ken Lofgren
said it's in the woods. It's up too.
He said there's definitely no Evergreen State Forest. He said maybe there's Evergreen State College, and maybe he tried to use that as like a deterrent.
It's up. It's you have to go. It's like where the logging tracks are.
Hmm. Well, hopefully he'll catch up and comment by the time I get done recapping your two stories.
Okay,
here.
But make the recap super quick.
He's 21 or 2, getting hammered in the woods of Washington. He was in the forest at a bonfire when he suddenly had to poop. He found a stream to power Duke over, and when he suddenly noticed the fire growing, he hears cops, and they start to let it rip. He starts to let it rip, but the cops holler for him. They were going to release the K-9. He grossly didn't wipe and pulled up his pants, only to realize the poop had cast it away into his pants, and the cops released him but embarrassed him.
Fantastic recap.
Thank you.
Like a court reporter. Yeah. You know?
Okay.
All facts here. So story number two, he's 11 or 12, which I thought was funny because he was 21 or 22 in the first one. He's 11 or 12 in South Carolina doing track for Florida School for the Deaf and Blind, who happened to be full of freakishly fast kids that had to train with Olympic athletes. He was chilling during the mile waiting for his event when this guy comes up to him and tries to convince him to join the Klan, and an older sergeant approaches and says some really cool shit that scares off the Klan man, and he was free to go about his day.
All right, so we're gonna tackle these stories first, because you know what you brought up in the recap, which I forgot about, that you were 11 or 12 years old, and that you were at a track meet. That seems a little young to be at a track meet. Like, that seems, that part is what kind of gets me a little bit when you mention that.
Not the Klan man coming up to a 12-year-old boy.
No, I believe that completely. But and someone thinking that you were white, I completely believe that because people are idiots. But I think I'm going to say, God, it's such a tough one. Mm. I'm going to say, I mean, that's nuts that you went in the woods with vision problems, you know?
That's the part that...
Dude, I've had that by any means necessary. Like, this is happening now. I just got to get away. I believe the first story, I think because of your point, I don't. I played sports all the way up, like so. I didn't. I don't think I actually went to a track meet like that until sixth grade, maybe. And that's not 11 or 12.
No, that's.
If he can get down the stairs of this basement to the Comedy Store podcast room, he can definitely make it down an embankment in some forest in Washington.
It's that small detail that unravels the whole thing.
Unravels the whole thing.
All right. So, what do you think? Like, what does Jessica say? What is the first? What does she say is a lie?
Jessica thinks that the. Let me check and just make sure. She thinks that Nate's first story is true. So she thinks the poop story is true, but we all know that Jessica's a big fan of poop. So
how can you not be?
Yeah, and what do you think? Which one do you think?
I'm going to go ahead and say that I believe the first one.
You think the first story is true?
Yeah, I think the track meet one. Yeah, you had too many reasons with the military stuff and what you said about, you know, that seeming out of the ordinary. A track meet, even electing which events you do as an 11-year-old, that seems kind of young.
Yeah, because were there high schoolers at this track meet?
Yes.
Then that's a lie.
And the guy was.
I don't mean to make you feel guilty. How about this? I agree. God damn it.
I love it. It's like, come on this podcast, tell one lie. You fucking dirty
you piece of shit.
What do you think? Do you think the first one's a lie?
Being a fellow Southern-born short, squat man who seems to have the same proclivity for. Poop gymnastics.
That's what it
I believe
be
the first one. It felt too. It just felt like home.
Yeah. What's that? We should have bailed on the second one. You're talking about this short squat thing. This motherfucker said he did long jump, dude.
Oh,
no
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah.
No way you did long jump.
But
yeah, they tap you. Yeah, yeah, you should sit down. Like, anyway, what do you think, Brett?
Can't see you jumping, motherfucker.
Well, I definitely think it's possible that the poop story is true because I am pooping my pants right now. These things happen. One's true.
Okay.
I just think you guys are so racist for saying that white men can't jump.
Oh, we love
when it's convenient. It's convenient.
You can jump down an embankment if you got a shit.
Hey.
So did you give your answer already?
Yeah, I think the first story is probably true because I can't see even a crazy Klan man coming up to somebody at a track meet knowing that, well, I mean, he's got to look like a 12-year-old boy, and you got to know that guy's parent or that kid's parents are somewhere, and you might get your ass beat, especially in like South Carolina or something. So I'm not buying the Klan man story.
All right, so we've done our vote. Which one is the lie?
The first one.
No way!
Bitch.
Yeah. Really?
Tricked the whole game.
Wow. Yeah. What a good liar.
That was good. You always buy the poop stories.
That is genuinely my thought was.
And the subtlety of...
Jeez, I can't believe you
The physicality.
Us.
He's wearing the Pizza by the Slice shirt and everything.
What the fuck? You know?
It's like, of course this guy poops a lot.
Yeah, of course I fucking take dumps.
Yeah, but wow, so man. Long jumps at 11.
I started doing track year round. This school is a K through 12. So I started heavily doing track year round when I was in second grade.
Okay.
And it's year round. So it was all of the people, you know what I mean? Like the whole high school was with you did everybody right. did the track together because like I think it was K through 12. So everybody just had track practice at the same time.
Hey, man, you want to join the KKK? We're trying to have a track team. We're trying to put our foot back in there.
I feel a little confused. So, but you guys all would go on a military, like to the, where the school was on the military base. But then did they have like a junior high and high school track together? Or?
Well, yeah, like we would go against other track teams. You probably don't know what the Hershey Games are. Hershey Games is a big track meet.
That sounds like where you poop yourself in the woods.
Hershey make who can poop the fastest? Yeah. I would have won that, by the way. I just want to let that
uh-huh.
be known.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But no, we were very good to the... I was being literal when I say other schools stopped wanting to compete against us.
Right.
So because who wants to get people?
It's a morale killer for sure.
But
that's
so we would just go anywhere. And a lot of these tracks, because like I said, this was all in training for the Junior Olympics.
Right. Okay.
And for like the Pan Am Games and for like the Special Olympics. And back then, the Special Olympics just meant in some way you have a deformity. So if you just didn't have one, like your right arm was gone, then you can join. Nothing else is wrong with you. So those retarded people can run. You know what I mean? Like that, their legs are still fine. So we had some fast people. So the junior, like the Special Olympics, was almost harder than the Junior Olympics was.
Yeah.
For once, we're losing to the audience because Leah and Ken, who Ken, by the way, never got one right, both got it right, and so did Melody. So right now we're
getting
our asses white.
Wow. I was sure I had it this time.
So the first story, none of that was true.
I mean, I did drink in the woods a lot, but I didn't. I have crapped myself, but never in the woods with the dog. I thought that y'all were going to pick up when I said the dog, because I don't think Rangers do have dogs.
Yeah. That's what I said earlier. Yeah. Why did I?
Those are the guys from Sean's story. Yeah. They just pulled up with their dogs.
Oh my Rangers, God. We're going to unleash the horses.
Yeah,
they're just going to gallop.
You made me doubt myself. Wow. Let's move on to the recap of the second story.
We have somebody that's just listening that can't watch or driving in Madison. She says that this is a voice twin of Patton Oswalt I have here on my right, and I haven't heard that because I've been looking at his face while he's talking. So I'm going to try to listen to him now.
You know what's hilarious is someone once asked me, like, are you related to Patton Oswalt? And I was like, yeah. That's how names work.
Yeah.
We have the same last – I have his first name as my last name. Yeah. That's how it works.
Fuck genetics. No. It's all about the names.
Well, the relative of Patton Oswalt, Sean Patton here, grew up in the Staten Island of New Orleans, Slidell, Louisiana. Him and some buddies go over to Purvis, Mississippi in 1999 and stop at a grocery store to buy a warm ham beer. They get stuck in the mud and hear some guys hollering gibberish at them, and a guy pulls up to winch them out of the mud. And the whole reason they were traveling to this camp, to the Tree Frog, was to film a Backwoods Blair Witch project at the camp. So they're there, four sets of headlights come down the driveway and start yelling at them to start filming, and a slew of raccoons, a wall of raccoons, if you will, flood past them, chased by hounds and rednecks, and one of them was shooting a twitching raccoon, and then they left after that.
Uh-huh.
So story two, 2013, in the Warehouse District of New Orleans. Lucy's, a little bar next to Vic's Kangaroo Cafe, is where he was hanging. He has a cousin named Jay, who he was good friends with, but life circumstances kept him a little estranged. They reconnected, and he had a family working as a U.S. Marshal, supposedly. We don't know what agency, in Alabama. He's a self-admitted short, fat tub of lard. This is his words, not mine. And while his cousin was big and macho, he goes to light a cigarette, and they notice this kid getting stomped in the street, and his friends are there not helping. Three assailants run away when Jay goes to chase them. Cops roll up. Someone points out the guys. They start chasing him. One guy jukes Sean, but Jay chases him like some kind of predator animal, throws up his badge, says, I'm with the FBI. After the scene was clear, he comes clean to welfare Zach Galifianakis that he... I'm sorry, your name's
That's
Sean.
Fine. Yeah.
This is Emily Martinez's fault. Come to find out he was undercover the whole time and a badass.
I got to tell you that, Nathan, you and your lies have made me doubt myself so much. I don't even know how to go about this.
But I will say, everybody's concern was the details. And just look at the difference in details of, like, story two and story one. Like, now story one had a lot of details. Story two
But sometimes liars put more details in.
Yeah, it's got me so fucked up now that it seems insane to say the second one's true, but something is going, like, fuck it, that one's it.
So that's what he's trying to do. Wall of raccoons.
Yeah, I think
the
like
tree fort or whatever that was called.
I think
tree
that frog. It seemed easier to. I don't know, man.
No, that tree frog detail is pretty stout detail. Like,
tree frog
have a name because everybody's camp has kind of a name, you know.
Yeah, but
he could just
frog?
Know of a campy party that growing up.
Well,
like
that's true.
I don't know. Tree frog seems weird. Like you would say frog house or frog or tree fort or
frog house.
I see. I believe tree frog.
You do.
I think the second one.
Yeah, so who do you think the second story is true?
No, I think the first one's true.
You think the first one's true?
Fuck.
Specifically because of something he said.
And what was that?
It was when he was talking about how his cousin fought.
Uh-huh.
That was where I was like that.
Oh, it was kind of action movie, like, hold this guy here. Like, he's got, like, standing in the middle.
Yeah,
like,
but come on, we've all seen Jason Bourne movies.
Yeah, but in real street fights, that's not how people fight. Mm.
He's right, it's not how it goes down.
I mean, yeah.
There's a lot of pulling online for the raccoon story. I'll just say that.
I've seen a wall of raccoons.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Where have you seen that with
He's from Florida.
Actually, I never saw it in Florida. I saw it in Washington.
All right,
a wall of raccoons?
Like more raccoons than there should have been.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
like? I did just see that picture also.
Fuck it, can we just
remember that Nate also can't see shit? So yeah. He sees a wall of raccoons.
So if I saw 20, that was 70.
You know? Yeah. No. I don't know if that's what he meant.
It might have been Bigfoot too. Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was just
it could have been children.
So Brett, you think that I'm refresh my memory of which one you thought was true?
I think the camping wall of raccoons story is true. I want that to be true.
Yes. All right.
Hey, I want the wall of raccoons story to be true, and I think everybody else online is pretty much pulling for that. Most people say first is true. Melody Martinez says first is a lie, and she was right on the last one, too. So.
Yeah. What does Jessica say?
Jessica said that the Sean's first story is true, that wall of raccoons, but of course Jessica would say that. I mean, she loves raccoons and stuff. Actually, yeah. I might change mine based on that.
I say the first one's true, the second one is a lie.
What do you say? You said what, Michael?
I guess the second one's a lie. It's just too cool. I like it best. I want it to be real.
Yeah, the whole like
if the second one's real, he's writing a movie right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be happy if it's real, but I guess I think that first one's real. Second story is a lie, is my vote.
Yeah, I think first one's true.
God, now that I just screwed up so much on your story. I mean, just the thought that New Orleans police officers have enough empathy for the person on the ground before trying to chase down other suspects, that just seems so...
Hold on real quick. Leah, we get it. You miss Jessica, okay? We heard you on Twitter all day.
Yeah, I know. We miss Jessica, too. Yeah. Let me tell you, I gave her a rash of shit for not being here today. Trust me.
We get it, okay?
Yeah, I know.
We're all you got right now.
She's our son, and we rotate around her. We know that. We dig Jessica so much. I'm going to say the second story is a fucking lie. No, I'm going to... Oh, God. All right, I'm going to say the second story is a lie. I hate to be with a group like that.
I know,
I'm
going to
say
either.
Yeah.
So you think the first story's true?
I'm going to say the first story's
true. No, I don't know.
Because he did lie about the sister thing. When he was like, it was just my brother, and then all of a sudden sisters were involved, and then all of a sudden, I can't tell you that it's a service, it's not the FBI.
Melody said that Sean's going to end up changing his answer now just based on her calling him Wilfred. She said he's sitting over here brooding, trying to decide.
I got to know.
Yeah, which one is the lie?
It was really crazy the year afterwards where my cousin and my brother and I ran into that dude who was bartending at a bar. In New Orleans, called the Dragon's Den.
Dude who
gave us drinks all night because the second one's true.
No! What? Oh my God.
And I wanna, I'm melting.
And I want to just throw this out there.
Please, for the sake of
it. Here's the thing. I got to admit this right now, and you might be mad at me. I cheated a little bit.
They better not both be true stories.
Okay. That is 100%. The second story is 100% true. I purposefully flubbed some of the details because it's so insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but all of it's true. I 100%. Like, that's the kind of shit, like, if I could make that up, I would be a novelist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
But yeah, like, that was fucking insane. And every time I tell it, which I don't do often, it's probably only the fourth time I've ever told it, I get really, like, adrenaline-y.
Yeah. Because
it was so fucking insane, and it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Because, not hard because it was like, oh, it's so traumatic, but just hard because it was like... so fast moving, the details were so insane, and you're right about the fight. Because I've talked to him about that. I was like, you were like fucking Jet Li, and he's like, no, I wasn't. You just can't fight.
Yeah.
So to you, the fact that I wasn't on my ass looked amazing.
Yeah.
If a person knows how to fight and they're fighting people that don't, it.
Yeah.
You look ridiculous.
The second part is true. The second story is true. Now, the first story is like, it is not made up. It's just what we call in the South a mise en place of three different stories. So in reality, everything up until the night is true. The guy did show up at the house, the tree frog, but alone with no gun, no raccoons.
Weirder.
Just some more beer, and he just wanted to hang out, and we just kind of like all pretended to go to sleep till he left. It wasn't really...
Wow.
Yeah, wasn't a very interesting story. However, the wall of raccoons, I have been raccoon hunting as a kid growing up in Louisiana, and that's what it looks like when you see them run. So I have seen a wall of raccoons, but it was years earlier.
So was Nathan Hurst.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the name of the word, that word you just said, where it's a combination of three...
Mise en place.
Mise en place. Wow.
Yeah, it's when you mash a couple things together. But Yeah, the first one was, yeah, it was a bunch of different stories mashed together. But the second one is true, yeah.
Well, you guys, I'm just going to say it, I think have been my favorite two liars.
This has been good.
This has been
You're
really
so full
good.
Of shit, the
I
both
feel
of
so
you.
Stupid. This is, I can't believe how little I trust myself.
I can't believe I fell for it. Brett fell for it. For the second one, he didn't. He thought the raccoon thing was real.
I totally.
And Jessica 0-2 for the first time, I think.
Yeah,
she usually at least gets one right.
That story's real though. I'm so happy.
Yeah, it was
wow,
insane.
Good
you
line,
should write that.
It was insane.
Thank you guys so much for coming by and sharing your dirty, filthy lies with us. We appreciate that, and we appreciate that you took time. Where can people find you, and what do you have that you would like people to know about?
I'm on Instagram at Nathan Hurd, H-U-R-D, comedy. I have a private show. I post all my shows there. So just, okay. I have some shows this week, so just go there.
Okay, wonderful. And how about you?
I am on Instagram at Mr. Sean Patton, just M-R, Sean Patton. Also, my website is me, Sean Patton, M-E, Sean Patton. All my tour dates are up. Just go see the tour dates. And I'm recording an album in September.
Oh, sweet.
I don't know if I can say where, but I can't say the date yet. But anyway, it'll be up when I'm recording. And yeah, Edinburgh, just check me out on the socials.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. And congratulations also to you, Nathan, for getting to Edinburgh. Well,
thank you.
That's always been seriously one of my fantasies is to always do a show there. And I had one that I did 2 years ago and I was too much of a chicken to submit. And it's really good to hear that you guys are doing it and making it happen because it's such a mystery to us US comedians about the Edinburgh Festival, which is one of the biggest ones in the world. So congratulations to both of you. And thank you very much, Michael, for sitting in for Jessica. And yes, Jessica will be back on Friday. She's been gone so long. It's been terrible. Thank you, Austin, for doing a great job doing on-air producing. Thank you to our engineer today, Brett Erickson. You can follow him on Twitter at iBrettMyPants. Where can people follow you? I know, best Twitter ever. That's how you do a Twitter.
Great.
Amazing. What's your Twitter handle?
I don't tweet, dude.
Instagram.
My Instagram is High Five Michael, HIGHFIVE Michael. Check me out at the Sycamore Tavern on the 27th and the Levity Live Oxnard on the 28th.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I think I'm on that show with you.
I think you are too.
Awesome. And you, Austin, where can people follow you?
I'm at the Austin Walker on everything, and please follow our Instagram, the Liars Club 1, and our Twitter, Liars_Club, please.
Oh, good. Was Jessica on there like, mention the...
Yeah.
I know.
And thank you all for having me.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Very, very welcome.
Everybody online is really singing you guys' praises. Yeah, so thanks for coming.
Yeah, you guys have been great, great liars. You can follow me at Felicia Michaels all across the board. Do me a big favor. If you are into comedians, please go to Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it for free. But I made a documentary called Pervs. It's out of the box is all I got to say.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Yeah.
So if you guys do have Amazon Prime, please go watch it and leave a sweet-ass review. I would appreciate that.
That's really cool.
And if you need the bootleg version, I can get that for about $5, $10.
Yeah. Or you can watch
you directed it?
I directed
it. That's awesome.
Yeah,
oh, that's really cool.
With Susanna Lee. A lot of people are in it. Joey Diaz, Felipe Esparza, Lori Kilmartin.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful project. Please also follow Jess Wellington, too, on Twitter and all across the board. You guys have been absolutely fantastic. We will be back Friday going live around 8:30-ish. Thank you guys so much for playing. We appreciate that you guys always tune in on Mondays, and thank you for that. Have a wonderful
day. Don't forget the thing.
The what thing?
Yes,
you guys have been lied to.
So reluctant.